Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy? Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with Don Fry, who has new Wi-Fi. This is like, I love it. This is great, man. As well as Greg Romero Wilson. It's going to be a great, great podcast. Brendan Schwab sucks just to join the meeting. So Sean's here. it's been a crazy, dude. Yesterday, I almost got arrested getting the vaccine.
What?
You can't push the old ladies out of the way. You got to wait your turn.
So what happened was, so in LA, it says like anybody who's a gym teacher or a sports coach.
Right.
Now McCorkle's Wi-Fi is what. So I'm like, all right, I coach a wrestling team 13 years. You know, so my wife comes in and she's like, you qualify. So I went online, I did it. I drive to Magic Mountain, which people don't know. It's like an hour and a half out of the way. You know,
yeah.
All the way over there. I like wait in line, the whole thing. I get there. They're like, okay, do you have a school ID saying you work there? All right, now the Wi-Fi is terrible. Is that him again? All right, so now the Wi-Fi is terrible. So
I knew we jinxed it.
I knew we jinxed it. So I like get there and and they're like, no, I don't have a school ID because it's like an after school program that's like outside of the school, even though it's
right.
School, it's like they cut the funding in LA. They cut funding. So these keep people out and like got their own kind of thing. Right. So I'm like, no, but I'm like, but I have pictures of me and kids and which sounds horrible. You know? So,
you do.
I'm like,
I have pictures of me with kids in the wrestling outfit and out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What other photos? Yeah, clown costume.
So now I'm like, they're like, one guy said, well, this doesn't count. So they're like, you have to leave. I'm like, but what? I just drove an hour and a half. So come back at 3:30. I'm like, what do I need? She's like, a pay stub. Okay. So now I go into my Chase app, you know, and I gotta remember my password. And I like, I'm looking for like checks that I got like from 2 years ago from $18 to $24, you know, like some kind of ridiculously low. So I'm looking and she's like, exit, you have to leave. I'm like, no, you said I have to get a pay stub. I'm getting out. So now I'm like, I'm not leaving.
Jesus.
She's like, so now she's like security. So six security guards walk over. I'm like, they're like, you have to go. She doesn't want to see you. I go, no, let me just find. She said, you didn't have it. I go, no, I said, I have to find it. I'm looking for it. I found it. Then I found the pay stub, right? Now on the pay stub, it says like, you know, Paul Revere Wrestling, you know, where the cool kids stay after school. Like it says that on each check. Like they're like.
Right. You put a little saying sometimes. Sure.
No, I didn't say it. That's like written on the check. That's like their logo. So the lady walks over. She's like, what does this say? I'm like, it says where the cool kids. She goes, that doesn't count. And walks. I'm like, are you saying these kids aren't cool? You know, like, what are you talking about? So now like 10 people come over, like, you have to leave. I'm like, no, listen, I've been coaching 15 years. I started the high school program for the Pally. I'm like, I'm not leaving because I'm getting a vaccination. I don't have, she's like, okay, get the fire marshal. The fire marshal walks over. Now he's there. It's me in my car.
Oh my God. Adam, how does this happen? You are that show, what's his name? The guy from Seinfeld? Curb. You are Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I'm like, I'm not leaving. It says coaches. I coach. And now I'm like winning some of these people over. Like one of the Mexican dudes is like, you know, I think he's right. You know, he's got a point. And they're like, listen, we're the security guards. The nurses don't want to give you the shot. I go, tell me why. I have everything.
The fire marshal bill says no.
so then,
right.
then like, the main lady came over, right? The main lady came over. She's like, they're like, well, we're going to call the police. I'm like, go ahead. Like, you want to arrest me for what? If I go to jail, they'll give me a shot in jail. They give him prisoner shot.
That's true.
So now, now they come back. I have to get a letter from the principal. So now I have to call my boss, who then has to go to the principal, who wrote a letter and emailed it to me saying I work for LA, you know, and then I ended up getting my shot. But
what an ordeal.
Yeah, what an ordeal. So have you gotten your shot, Don?
Adam, no, I don't plan on it.
Sean, what were you saying?
Oh, no, I'm saying I'm not taking a shot no matter what. But also, your story about how they were treating you reminds me when the UFC cut me. They were like, no, dude, really, you have to leave. And I was like, no, I'm still in a contract with UFC. I'm still going to hang around all the events and all the fighters. Like, dude, listen, you got to go. Like, no, I'm still a UFC fighter. That's kind of what it reminded me of.
That's hilarious.
Wait. Dude, when I was, you know that line that you're talking about on your checks where you can add an extra statement? And they're like, we're the cool kid. Okay, so when I, like, the first business checking account I ever had, I think it was like 22 years old. And so when I realized there was an extra line, you know, you're filling out the thing, I was like, can you put anything on this line? And they're like, yeah, you can put anything on that line, like the name of your business. And then, like, if you want doing business ads or something, whatever. And so I thought about it for a minute. And so the first time I did it, I put in there, is there anything in my teeth with a question mark? And then, and this is the 90s, so you would still use the check at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And then she would look at it, and they'd always look over, and I'd be like, showing my teeth. And then what I did after that was, don't touch my pants.
That's
it just said, don't touch my pants. And they would read it and look at me. I'm like, don't even think about it. And then now on my checks, it says, you deserve the best that you can afford.
Nice. That's awesome.
So I'm just surprised a gay porn company paid a check back.
They paid it back then. They paid it today.
Don, your Wi-Fi was amazing when we started, and now it's acting up. What did you do differently since the last 6 minutes?
I don't know. You cut me off a couple of times. You know, one of you guys muted me two or three times.
Yeah, because I muted you because there's an echo. Like, I talk and I hear an echo. Greg, am I right? Are you hearing an echo too?
It comes and goes.
Okay. All right. So Friday night I had a show outside, right? Yeah, it was at a nice hotel in, I don't even know what he said, my nose is obnoxious. So it was
I didn't hear it either.
So I get to the show and I'm like the last comic and I'm watching the fight and I go on and the crowd's great. And then it's at a hotel. People are sitting at the hotel. So I get up and I do a joke about, I would never, I would never spank my kid. It's 2021. I'm going to taser, right? Some lady was like mid-20s, early 30s, kind of chubby blonde. She's like, well, she'll tase you back. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right. I'm like, this is not, and she's like, that's not nice to do to a kid. That's a child that starts yelling at me, right? Like, I'm really going to tase my kid, right? Then she's like, you know what? You suck. And I'm like, listen, she's like, you're not even staying at this hotel. I have a room here. And I'm like, well, what are you, a prostitute? Like, what do you want from, like, leave. Now the black people are like rolling laughing. Cause she's like, I'm like, what are you, the Karen of comedy? Like, I'm just murdering her. So she gets kicked out. And I don't know, Greg, you ever have a thing where like you do something in the crowd work crazy, and then you almost can't follow your crowd work with jokes?
Oh, absolutely. Cause it's too exciting. It's gotten too exciting. Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened. So that was that. How was your week?
You know, you book more shows over big fight nights than any, for someone who runs an MMA podcast.
I know.
It's amazing the way you never are available to actually watch the fights.
I know. Well, let's talk about the fights. Since we all watched it, Don, where did you watch the fights this week?
At my camera guy's house, Tony.
Oh, nice. Now, what did you think of the main event, Stylebender against Jan Błachowicz? What did you think of that fight?
I was fighting to stay awake, you know. that was the harder fight.
That was the real fight.
Yeah. I mean, it had so much hype behind it. You know, I think as far as Israel, he's a great fighter, but there's weight classes for a reason. If you're going to bump up 20 pounds and you show up eating pizza at the weigh-in and coming in 10 pounds under and wrestling isn't your strong suit, and the one fight that you look bad was against, against Gol Gastelum, kind of, I didn't say look bad, it was a great fight, but Marvin Vettori kind of took him down. It's going to be hard to stop a takedown from a guy that's 30, 40 pounds heavier than you. And that's pretty much what happened. I don't think Israel necessarily looked bad. He just didn't look great. McCorkle?
He looked bad. I thought he looked bad. He should use his speed and his footwork. How come he didn't do that?
I mean, Greg, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought he did do that. I mean, he had the punching. He didn't have the power. He just ran into a guy that was just a lot tougher than he was. He didn't have enough power to knock the guy out or hurt him, and he just kept coming. He was able to use his strength and durability against him. I mean, he had the speed. He was missing more punches than he normally does, though, which I found very surprising. Usually, he connects at a much higher rate. This guy was just a lot tougher than anybody he fought in his other weight division.
Sean?
Yeah, man.
Big up, John.
Offset Stylebender was overrated from Stylebender was overrated from day one. I always said, wait till he gets in there with a really, really good wrestler with good takedowns. He's going to be on his back and not be able to do anything. I was cracking up after how he acted like it didn't bother him at all. Like, if you're not sad after losing a title fight, you're not very competitive. Yeah. I can tell you that. You know, he's like, oh, I don't care. Yeah. Oh, I'll rule 185. And I was just thinking how awesome it'd be to be that guy, because, like, you could tell your wife or girlfriend, listen, if we go out tonight and anybody starts anything, as long as they weigh out under 185, I've got them. I just don't understand that whole I can beat up – Frank Shamrock used to say that he could beat up any man under 200 pounds in the world. And then I was like, first of all, if you're under 200 pounds, are you actually a man? But I thought he was overrated. And I said the same thing about Anderson Silva for years. I kept saying, Anderson looks great. Wait till he faces a really good wrestler. He got in with Chael, got manhandled, even though he won. But got put on his back. And I even heard Adesanya after the fight talk about, I was going to use my guard to do this or that. He looked like he had never rolled in his life, like on the ground. He wasn't getting his hip out, wasn't digging for an underhook, wasn't trying anything, just laying there surviving.
Like everyone.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad I qualify as a man via obesity. I'm like, okay, I'm over 200 pounds by a little bit. There you go. That's good to know. That's my new excuse for not losing weight.
It seems like everybody who
calls – luckily, there's no upper weight limit or I wouldn't be a man.
It seems like everyone who calls out John Jones loses. It seems like that's the kiss of death. Everyone who's thinking about John Jones before their fight at 205 ends up losing. And then John Jones gets on Twitter, who then says, stop thinking about me, you fucking idiots. Ah, ha, ha. And just kind of rubs in everyone's face.
Mark, shit. You can't think about another fight. You got to think about the one in front of you, you know? Not the next one or the last one or what have you. You know, there's one fight that should concern you.
Now, Don, I mean, when you fought, was there anybody that weighed 20, 30 pounds lighter than you that could have beaten you, you think?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah. It just all right. So about Amanda Nunes, yikes. I mean, wow. Speed kills. This girl's got everything. I don't know what they're going to do, because if that girl was the best at 145, it wasn't even competitive. I mean, it really wasn't even.
Yeah. I was saying that they were just feeding her somebody to have her fight somebody. But then on Saturday, they were showing all the videos of her having this baby and looking all happy and comfortable. And I'm like, whoa, now that's the only thing that could stop her is happiness.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that before. Then she got in the ring and like, oh, yeah, no, she's fine. She's, she got it.
Or she killed that opponent. There was no opponent. So, I mean, what was the problem? I mean, the other guy's going to be that to get Holly Holm, you know? Holm was the only one who gave her a halfway decent fight.
I mean, as of recently, there were girls that beat her back in the day. It just seems like speed kills, you know, and she just has enough. She has a lot of power.
I was gonna say, and power, yeah.
I don't know what's gonna happen with that division. I don't know what 140. I mean, there's a girl named Kayla Harrison who's a 2-time gold medalist in judo, who's undefeated, who could make 145. But the problem is she trains with her. That's her training partner. So they know what they're going to do to each other. And I don't know how well this does. This girl's like kind of behind her as far as striking goes. But maybe that's the fight to make. But Kayla needs a bunch of girls before that. But that's probably the only girl at 145 that I can see that can give Amanda trouble. I just can't.
Well, I think that's kind of the problem with women's fighting in general. I mean, the some of the smaller divisions have more of them in them. But, I mean, it's the fact that there's only so many good ones. And once they beat a few of the other ones, there's not a lot. I mean, they're like waiting for girls to get better and get some more wins so they can just automatically get them into a title fight because they need somebody to fight. I think that's kind of one of the problems with women's fighting.
Although Juliana Pena, they're saying they're going to make Pena, and I like that fight. I know I got to go for my girl Juliana. I'm going to be rooting for her. That's my friend. That's my like legit friend. She's got an uphill battle. Don't get me wrong. It's not going to be easy. But the thing about Pena is that she has zero fear. She believes she's going to win that fight, and that's dangerous. Now let's talk about the Aljamain Sterling fight. That fight was...
You mean the Aljamain acting class?
Yeah, there it is!
Academy Award
presentation. You know, Don, I was going to bring up the same thing. There was a moment where I'm like, I feel like he's like, I could just stop right here and I win. I don't know. It was, because all of a sudden in the interview, he did get knocked the fuck out. What were you going to say? Sorry, I just had to agree with Don.
I mean, there are a couple things there.
For fuck's sake, you know what? I've been hit by harder knees when I'm having sex with a woman. You know?
Wait, why are women kneeing you while you're having sex with them? What are you saying to them? They're kneeing you, dumb.
Acrobatics, man. They move around. I throw them around, you know? Shit, a rag doll on
her. Wow.
He tells them he's not going to pay him.
That pisses off the Missouri women big time, Indianapolis women. Yeah, fuck.
So, look, to Aljamain's credit, right, here's what he said. Well, first of all, TJ Dillashaw says he tweeted, and the Oscar goes to Fake Master for best actor in a title fight. And Peter Yan needs a crash course in the rules in the sport he once was champion of. Hey, Peter, now you're a cheater too, bitch. Different kind of cheating on TJ Dillashaw, taking EPO and then versus like not knowing. But what I don't get is a couple things. Number one,
you can't say not knowing. Everybody knows. And in fact, he kind of stood there and it was like he kind of knew, like, oh, I can't kick him. And there's like, fuck it, and just fucking kicked him.
Well, he said his corner, according to Khabib, who was working his corner told him he was allowed to kick him. That's number one. I don't understand. Maybe his corner was like, they're saying maybe like it was Aljamain's corner, but like in a Russian accent said Neum, as people are saying that maybe. But also one judge had Aljamain winning that fight. Like that.
Yeah, that's an idiot right there. That they should send that idiot to fucking skating, ice skating, you know. Fuck.
I don't think he would be winning the ice skating event either. I don't understand how. He was getting knocked down, he was getting taken down, he was almost stopped. He was getting ragdolled. And I like Aljamain a lot. He's a friend, and he's a great fighter. I think it was a case of he got too excited. He was trying to do everything at once. He wasn't trusting his instincts. He wasn't taking his time. He was pushing the pace way too much. He wasn't playing for a 5-round fight. It was almost like he was just trying way too hard to make something happen. And that just worked against him when it didn't happen in the first round. Aljamain, I think in the rematch is going to be a lot better. I could see him because now he knows, like, don't do that. But to his credit, this is what he said. He goes, I do remember asking, how much time do I have? But I wanted to continue. In this moment, I'm thinking a whole bunch of things.
No, he didn't.
He goes, I'm thinking Dana White's not going to give me another title shot. The fight's going to be a no contest. Dana's going to say he was losing that fight in the fourth round. So why should we use him again? We already know the direction the fight was heading, so we're going to move on from this. Then me, I'm never going to get the opportunity again. I'm going to have to win 3 or 4 more fights to get back in this position for a world title again.
Well, that's your fault. or your trainer's fault. I mean, they both got bad advice from their trainers. Let's put it that way.
He goes, for the fighters that said I milked it, good for you guys. Do you guys ever see me quit or tap or want a way out? When a guy puts on a half-ass rear naked choke and it's half on, you look around and go, oh, I can tap now. I can quit now. You guys are the freaking softies. I fought my ass off the entire time. I was not going to quit in that fight. I was going to take my licking or find a way to persevere, find a way to win like a man, because that's what I do. I don't have the quit in me. There's no quitting whatever. I'm here. You guys may find it easy to talk about the Oscars and everything. You're the actors. Might be a reflection of your own spirits. I mean,
oh my God, that put everybody in their place. Oh man, I need you to shut up now.
Don changed his opinion.
That's it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Someone was saying that it shouldn't be up to the fighter to decide whether or not he can continue. Right, the doc. Shouldn't the doc make that call? I found that very odd too.
I mean, I kind of see his point though. Like he knows he's not going to get a rematch based on he was losing the fight. I don't know if he thought he was going to win after that. I thought I don't think he thought the rule. I thought maybe he thought he was going to lose regardless. And he's like, you know what? I'll do better next time. This way, I'm guaranteed a rematch.
I think the fact that he was even thinking those things means that he was like, or I could just take the DQ. You know, it seems like all the thought process except that one little part is there.
Yeah.
That's a lot of thinking for somebody who was unconscious. You know that?
All right. So, Don, what would you have done in that position?
What?
What would you have done? If you were him and you got kneed in the fourth round, you're losing the fight, what do you do?
Well, let's see. I'd probably have taken my damn knee off the mat, you know, and fought like a real man, you know, instead of sitting there like that. You know, the guy was a dummy. I'd have fought. Shit, I'd have fought. And, you know, if he didn't want the damn belt, which he claimed he didn't want the belt that way, okay, then fine. Put it in a bank vault and don't look at it, you know.
Right.
Have the UFC hold it, you know, until the fight can be a rematch. But don't fucking put it around your waist and start sipping champagne out of a plastic cup, you know, and act like you just won the fucking Indianapolis 500.
I think he kind of figured, look, if they're going to hate me, make them really hate me. Fuck it. Go all the way. Go full heel. You know?
I think that made it look like he got away with one. You know what I mean? That made it look like, all right, guys. We slipped. I mean, it seemed, you know, if you are going to act like that, you couldn't have continued the fight, I'd say maybe go to the hospital, go home afterwards. Like, yeah.
Still, right. You know,
don't be seen for a few days. Don't be like, hey. I mean, because it did seem like a switch flip. Like the second he put on the headphone for the interview, he's all like, oh, hey, Joe, what's going on? Yeah, man, I totally was surprised. I couldn't believe it. Like, it did seem pretty dramatic shift there.
I'm McCorkle. What do you do if you're in that position?
I've actually done it. I was going to say, we already know what Don would do because Gilbert Ivel poked him in the eyes like 9 times. And Don's eyeball's falling out. He keeps saying, yeah, I'm ready. Like after when the ref asked him, he's like, yeah, I'm ready to go again. They didn't even take a point. They just give a yellow card, which means nothing. But I actually, in my last fight in the UFC, I knew going in if I lost, I was going to get cut. I get kneed in the balls repeatedly, like 2 times in a row. After I kneed the balls, I thought, I can quit right now. I'll keep my – because it'll be disqualification. I'll get the win. I'll still be under contract in the UFC. And I thought about it for 2 seconds, and I thought, man, I don't have that in me. I just can't do it. Like, that would have been the smarter move, and it was probably to my detriment, but I was like, I kept going back. Dana tells you before every event, he gets all the fighters together, and Dana says, we pay you guys a lot of money, which is a lie, but no. He says, we pay you guys a lot of money to fight. We expect you to fight. He said, I don't care if you grapple. I don't care if you wrestle. I don't care if you stand up and fight, but we expect you to fight. Don't go out there and hug each other, you know, and that's at that time I thought, I'll probably get cut anyway if I quit now after getting kneed in the balls because no one likes that outcome, and I was losing the fight, so I thought, this is perfect. I can get out of the loss, get a DQ win, say I can't continue, but I wasn't really hurt. And I just don't have, I don't know, called integrity or pride or stupidity or what, but I don't have it in me to quit like that, man. I just don't. And I, like you said, Al Jermaine wouldn't have been doing complicated math problems in his head after the fight. I mean, he's like doing calculus and algebra while answering Joe's questions, you know, whatever. Like, it was not really, but I mean, he's so hurt he can't stand up. And he's like, by the way, the square root of 950,345 is 30. You know, I don't know. But he was extremely well-spoken, and not just because he was black, but extremely well-spoken for a guy who just been concussed beyond being able to continue.
I think you're right. I think the warrior in me would have done the same thing. I'd keep fighting and try to win. Fuck it. You don't want to go out like that. Although I could sort of, as a businessman, which I'm horrible at too, I could think of like, you know, I'm guaranteed a rematch. I'll do better in the rematch. I could see you thinking that. I could see someone, you have to be an idiot not to think that. Greg, what would you have done in that position?
Well, the warrior in me would say, you haven't used me since the third grade. So I don't know what you want me to do now. I'm all full up on beef jerky. And here's the thing, you know, at the end of the day, I still like Aljamain Sterling as a fighter, and we can't discount the fact he's kind of his theatrics is kind of taking the heat away from the fact that Peter Yan did still flagrantly, violently kick him in the fucking head while he was clearly down, toward two knees, 2 feet, a hand, like he couldn't have been more down.
Yeah, but like, but that whole rule though, right? Of like, okay, so if his
knee, I thought just one knee was down. It didn't look like, it looked like one knee was down.
I think you can't have one knee down. But like, if his knees are up and his head's down and the guy knees you, like, is it gonna do the same damage as if his knees are both down? I mean, Don, when you were started fighting, that wasn't a thing, right? Knees down, knees up. It was knees.
Right, there are no rules. Yeah. There were no rules.
No, there was no rules.
There was no, yeah, there were no rules. And it was in a cul-de-sac in Detroit, surrounded by three burned out houses and a motorcycle gang. So, of course, when he first started.
Now, Don, Mark Kerr said he would open up a cut on you, dig his thumb in the cut, in the hole, and then turn his thumb to like cause excruciating pain. Was that like something that you did too?
No, I didn't have to do that to cause excruciating pain. You know, I think Mark Kerr liked sticking parts of him in holes of other various men.
So you think that's why
that's the best answer in the room, my life.
He likes putting things in a guy's holes. That's why he did it. It was just a
yeah. It was some kind of turn on, you know.
In fact, Mark Kerr once pulled out of a fight because he had injured his butthole finger. I heard. So.
Oh God! All right. I don't know. Don, like Gary Goodrich said that he removed the guy's cup, squeezed the guy's balls as hard as he could, and then he said he made peanut butter with the guy's nuts. I mean, when you guys were like training back in the day, did you guys come up with like moves like that?
Oh yeah, I would ask people to do that. You know, hey, Gruger, come up with something that would, you know, would violate me. You know, and balls into peanut butter. Yeah. What kind of a question is that, you dork? do you practice jokes that don't get laughs?
Yeah, I do actually.
Almost exclusively.
75%. The thing about Aldo during that fight, though, is he kept going for spinning elbows. At a certain point, you have to realize this is not working. Like, why do you, every time you went for spinning something, he got taken down.
Yeah, you need to back up with that spinning elbow, you know. I mean, figure out there's a distance factor on those things, and you weren't quite getting it.
Yeah, I don't know what his corner should have, I mean, said, listen, man, no more spinning elbow. I know he has great cornermen. I mean, obviously, he's got, like, some of the best. But at a certain point, you're like, hey, man, stop going, like, basics. Basics are what got us here. Basics, basics, basics.
Nothing he was doing was working in his favor. It's all working in Peter Yan's favor.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough one. When like someone is dominating you in every aspect, but I think Aljamain is gonna do much better in the rematch. I think he's gonna watch the tape. I think he's going to be better. I do. I really do. I'll tell you who looked
great. They say they're champions. They say they're champions 25% better just by having the belt. So,
you know. There you go.
Well, that's it. I'm gonna buy a belt to wear around the bedroom. just like Aljamain Sterling probably did.
I'll tell you who looks good.
And I love Aljamain. I'm just joking.
Of course, this is a comedy show. Now, Islam Makhachev. I don't know how you say his last name.
Makhachev, something.
But he looked amazing against Dober. I mean,
dominated Dober, man.
Wow, that guy's gonna be hard to beat. I don't know who's gonna beat that guy. He just seemed like he was doing everything right. Those guys from Dagestan don't fuck around. And I really think that Khabib retiring is like almost like when Michael Jordan stepped down from the league. Everybody wants to be the next Michael Jordan. And I think that like he's the Jordan of Dagestan. So all these guys want to be the next king of Dagestan when it comes to fighting.
You know what? And that's so hard to understand because there's so much to do in that country. I mean, to rip yourself away from all that entertainment value to train, you know, like, God, it's impressive.
You know, there's only two professions there, MMA fighter and wheelbarrow repairman. Those are the only two jobs available in Dagestan, so it kind of makes sense.
Oh, my God. This is the most woke podcast. Now, here's the thing. Now, I would just like to see what happens to those guys from Dagestan when they go to Vegas. I mean, they must flip out, right? Imagine them, like, growing up in Dagestan your whole life. Maybe they go to Dubai first so that they get kind of
find out what electricity is all about. Yeah.
Exactly. They probably – can you imagine what happens when the maid goes in the room and all the furniture has been deconstructed and built into a fort? And then they built like a tree house.
A sheep pen, you know. They got their sheep in the corner.
All right. This is – all right. Don, did you ever fight in Russia?
No. I just went there once with
you bought the bride and came back.
With who? You went there why?
Cal Worsham. I went there to corner Cal Worsham, and he fought the tournament, and it was nice. I enjoyed it. You know, it was really beautiful. Really beautiful.
What about you, Sean? You ever been to Russia?
No, I've been to Poland, which was close, and very similar, I thought. But, yeah, never to Russia. I was talking to Monty Cox one time. It's funny because, you know, they gave him $1 million signing bonus to run M1 and all this different stuff. And he ended up just skipping out on them after a few months. He said, because they were acting kind of funny, but he would never go to Russia after that because he was positive they were going to kill him. It was the funniest thing ever.
That sounds hilarious.
Yeah, $1 million. You steal $1 million for the Ruskies. They're going to fucking come after you. Yeah.
There's nothing funnier than feeling like the Russians want to kill you.
It's just a practical joke.
If I've learned anything from the Jason Bourne movies or Taken or any of those, it's that when the Russians want to kill you, comedy ensues.
Oh my!
And that you can defeat a professional assassin with a rolled-up magazine. You know.
First of all,
I remember that scene. That was a great scene, the first one.
By the way, Queen Latifah has to stop doing karate on TV.
I can't watch it, man. Yeah,
There's like, you know, you want me to like, okay, fine. Some of these like Marvel, Jessica Jones beating people up because she kind of has like powers. Like, when you put powers,
right.
I believe she has powers. But when Queen Latifah starts beating up like Russian spies, I'm like, I'm out. I can't.
Oh yeah,
I can't.
Dude,
I can't
do you remember that movie Salt?
No, I didn't.
Which was what's her name? Brad Pitt's ex-wife. What's her name?
Angelina Jolie.
Yes, that skinny, and she is at her skinny, and you know, and so she's like pretending to run like this, and she's like beating up guys. And I'm like, come on, guys, that was comedy. Comedy did ensue when she faced those Russians. That, in fact, was hilarious.
All right. So, Rachik versus Santos. that was a boring fight. I kind of, sometimes you got these two killers in there and it just sort of happens that way. What I don't get is giving a guy a brown belt after a fight where he did no jujitsu. Like with a guy, I mean, he defended a couple takedowns.
Maybe he was going to get a black belt.
Yeah. They actually, maybe he had a black belt and they demoted him. Like, that's, they're like, you know what, here, you deserve the brown. Give us back the black.
I might as well give him a Grammy at that point. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, why are we giving people, it just seems like, they were obviously going to give it to him no matter what, but maybe give it to him. Well, like,
they're promoting themselves. They're promoting themselves. And that's what most of these idiots in the corner do anymore. I mean, they all stand there, you know, pull down their mask and jump up and down. And, you know, they do everything but shove the fighter out of the way. You know, when it comes to taking a picture and getting on screen. I mean, it's not about you, you fucking idiot. It's about the fighter and the fight.
Don, could you please watch the fights every weekend? Because it's so much fun to hear your...
It really is a delight.
Honestly, like, this show is so much better when you watch the fights, Don. It really is. Like, because that we're not just talking about fights that you haven't seen and telling you what happened and then you're chiming in. Like, the fact that you're getting so angry at this and you actually experienced it because you know what happened, it's a whole different show. So, please.
I think what you need to do is you need to make contact, Adam, with cameraman Tony. Yeah. And make sure that cameraman Tony is connecting with him to get him to watch the fights, because that's clearly what's working.
It's so much better. Now Dominic Cruz, yeah. You know, that was one of those fights where the veteran, the guy who's been in there, you know, he just outsmarted the young guy. I don't think Casey Kane looked bad.
Yes, he did. That fucking guy he gassed out halfway through the third round. What a fucking douchebag. He couldn't make it through the whole fight. His conditioning was so bad. Fuck him. God, I'm ashamed he's saying he's from Tucson. He's from Tucson, Missouri. Not Arizona.
So, Don, you've never gassed out in a fight?
No, no.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty impressive.
Not even when I went through withdrawals, you know. Fuck. Wait,
what about your last fight with the guy that fought Tank Abbott a couple times? What about your fight with Raven, the wrestler?
What fight with Raven, the wrestler?
I'm just kidding. Okay, Casey Kenny. I saw a picture of you.
You just scratched that joke out of your book.
I'll fucking scratch it. All right.
So listen, yeah, exactly. Don Fry never gassed, and he was hungover and coming directly from an orgy. So,
dude, even on like 30 Vicodins, he still never gassed. All right,
yes.
Now, after the fight, Cruz called out Hans Mollenkamp. Now, we don't know who Hans Mollenkamp is. This guy is the head of Monster Energy, or no, he's not the head. He works for Monster Energy Drink. And he's a guy that's like, he's kind of an influencer. He's always in like a couple kickboxing events. I don't know what exactly he does. He's always kicking things out of fighters' hands and laughing. It's sort of like a jackass thing. I guess he sponsors fighters. I don't know what the beef, the guy's like 200, he's a big guy. I don't know what the beef is, but Dominic hates him. Maybe he got stuck in a contract with him. So he called out Hans Mollenkamp out of everybody. And he goes, fuck this. I want to do a kickboxing match against this guy. The guy wants to be a fighter. He's fake. He thinks he posts Instagram pictures and makes him important. There's a whole speech about Hans. And then, like, I guess Hans and Dana White got into it earlier, because Dana had, like, this fucking guy says he knows me. He's a poser, blah, blah. I don't know what this is, but I support it. I think, fuck it. Call out whoever you want. Like, fucking, don't even call out a fighter. Just call out fucking people.
Exactly.
Like, it was hilarious. I mean, McCorkle, do you know Hans Mollenkamp or what the deal is with that?
I've never heard of him. I did hear a rumor, though, that Dominic Cruz's beef with him is that Dominic asked him out on a date like 5 years ago, and the guy said no.
Oh, boy.
So that's probably where their issue started. And then I did think, man, watching, I was amazed. I lost a bunch of money betting against Dominic. But I thought, man, you know what? I should have known better, because no matter what, happened in that fight, Dominic was going to be banging with another guy later that night anyway. So,
either way, we're going to lose.
I didn't know. If he was gay, that'd be okay. He's not gay. I've seen him with some of the hottest women I've ever seen.
You'd be the first to know, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Mick Jagger was married too.
When I was blowing him, he hated
it. Yeah.
Now Mick Jagger,
David Bowie, yeah, David Bowie and Mick Jagger were both married to somebody else at the time. Yeah.
Dude, one of the funniest shows, Greg Biscuit was like, he goes, "Yeah, that guy was being sneaky, like the Chinese." Like he said, the guy, like all of a sudden, the Chinese guy
on
a podcast, and then McCorkle goes, "I don't know how the Chinese got involved in this conversation."
What's up, people? Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Look, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. How cool is that? They got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. That's right. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, okay? Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. Check them out.
So, Joseph Benavidez versus Askar. That fight, man, I kind of feel bad for Benavidez. I almost think maybe, I don't know. He should fight. It's hard. They keep
that should him. Retire him. That should definitely send him at least down to Bellator or Bare Knuckle. I think he's about done. I don't think he should fight anymore. He's one of those guys that looked. I mean, he got dominated, man.
They keep giving him these guys that are like 15-1 that are like from Russia that are just killers. It's just
hey, was this the one? Was Askar the one, or was it the very first fight where the guy got the cut on the top of his head? And it was bleeding really bad, and he could tell that every time he squeezed, it just poured into the other guy's mouth. I think that was the first fight of the night in the early prelims.
There was one with Kyler Phillips looked great against Song Yadong. Where Cara France, he was getting his ass kicked,
and then just wha-bam!
Knocks the guy out, and then stopped the fight himself. And the other guy got up and threw his mouthpiece at him. It was like the weirdest thing, like, but the fight should have been stopped, but once again kind of Herb Dean sort of, I mean, it's hard, I guess, but wow.
Well, now, because Herb never waved it off officially. He just went over there. So then he thought it might not have been called off. And so he went over like he was going to punch him again. And then Herb was like, oh, no, it's over. And that, of course, pissed off Bontarini or whatever his name was.
Now, McCorkle. The king of the one-punch knockouts is Mark Hunt. Was that that you had that he was going to knock you out and walk away when you fought him?
Yeah, I was afraid it would happen the first exchange too. Like that's what I kept thinking. Actually, going into the fight, I was positive I'd win. I'd be like, listen, I'm not so much bigger than him. I'll just charge him and tackle him. I'll get it on the ground one way or another. And then as soon as I got within 10 feet, he blasted me in my face, and I was like, wow, he's really good with distance and really fast. Then he hit me again, and I was like, I just pulled guard. I was like, dude, the hell with this. But I really was. I was in Indianapolis, my hometown. There were 2,000 people watching, and every single one of them thought I was going to lose, including my parents. So
now, who hit, he hit? Was he hit?
Well, I showed them.
The guy, now Pujanowski, the world's strongest man, when you fought him, how hard did he hit?
He didn't hit very hard at all. He had a ton of strength, but he didn't know how to apply it. You could tell, like, when I wrestle with Tom Erickson feels 3 times as strong as him when you grapple with him. You know, he just I'm sure Pujanowski's stronger than Erickson, but not when it comes to wrestling or, you know, applying it. So
Got it. And then Sean Brady, this guy's going to be hard to beat, man. He looks like an acid trip on TRT. His tattoos are fucking – he's got the tattoo, Greg, that had like – it looked like the
– Yeah, guy, it was
Little Caesar's pizza, the devil or something.
And yeah, yeah, on his back, and it's big too, and it's just looking at you.
Yeah, but that dude is like, those are the hardest guys I think to fight. Aren't the guys that do one thing great? The guys that do everything good, or like everything really good. And it seems like that's where like he doesn't seem to have any weaknesses. Because I feel like if a guy's a specialist in one particular thing, you might be able to isolate that. Like, okay, you're fighting a guy like Damian Maia. Don't go to the ground with him. Just don't exchange. Not that that's
easy. Yeah.
Or you're fighting Ben Askren, kind of a similar thing. Just keep the distance. Keep the distance. Whereas a guy who does everything right, a guy like GSP, that's got to be the hardest. Don, do you agree? When you were fighting the specialist versus guys that did everything right, what was the hardest? What would you rather fight? Who would you rather fight?
Well, how come you didn't say like Don Fry instead of GSP? Why didn't you say like Sean McCorkle or like Don Fry?
You're a guy that does everything.
How did GSP get in this conversation?
No, you're right.
Look, like he had those smooth legs.
Don, you're a black belt, yeah. A black belt jiu-jitsu. You're a professional boxer. And you were a college wrestler, possibly an All-American. I think you were like a fifth alternate for the Olympic wrestling team. I would 100% like that category.
I was like 15th alternate for the Olympic team. I had a better chance of making the women's gymnastics team.
So, Don, I would put you. Whereas McCorkle, I would say, is a specialist. Jiu-jitsu was your thing, right? I mean, that was your thing.
Yeah, but the sad part was I wasn't even very good at that. So it's like it was funny. The UFC at one point they were talking to me about fighting Fabricio Verdum, and I was like, how do I win that fight? I don't go to the ground with him. He's better than me standing up. He's got better cardio. So I probably would have just said three Hail Marys and thrown a wild punch and hope for the best. That would have been my guess. So.
Right. But I mean, but you were a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Plus, I think you have that like – like I heard Shaq is a brown belt, by the way. Is that true? You know that's true? Could that possibly be true?
Highly
racist statement. We can't be talking like things like that.
Oh, that's racist. Well,
it doesn't really matter what color the belt is.
Well, we had Sean Merriman on the podcast, right? Greg, you know Sean Merriman, football.
Yeah, player. Sure, from the Chargers.
And he's been training and sparring like for 3 days a week. He wants to do MMA. He wants a fight, and Shaq wants a fight. And I think we should make that happen. Sean Merriman agreed to it. He's like 100%. Who do we think wins that fight, Shaq or Sean Merriman? Greg?
Sean Merriman, because he could probably still use his feet. I don't know. I feel like he's going to be a pretty stationary target, Shaq. So I definitely would go with Sean Merriman.
McCorkle?
Shaq is 100% all talk. He's not ever going to fight anybody. He's not going to do anything. He just talks a good game like he always does. But Shaq can't fight to save his life. He got a fight with Charles Barkley and got put on his back. It was ugly. You know, he threw a punch at Brad Miller. I used to watch the NBA nonstop. He threw a punch at Brad Miller when Brad Miller wasn't even looking at him. It didn't come within 3 feet of hitting him, you know, when he played the Pacers. So Shaq's all talk. He's not fighting anybody ever.
Got it.
And that was the Pacers.
Now there was a fight, Greg. It was Medic versus Cruz, where the guy got hit like 7,000 times and the ref didn't stop it. And
that was bad. Yeah,
everybody was yelling, "Stop the fight!"
Rogan, yeah, he was turtling up. He was just protecting his head. I was screaming it at the TV. I was like, "Fucking stop this fight! Are you kidding me, man?"
I don't know what that ref was thinking. I don't understand. I don't understand why they give some guys like way too much and other guys to stop it right away. Made no sense. I think, and also those are great fights. Now, fights this week, we have Leon Edwards, who has won like 8 in a row. He's the guy that Masvidal hit like at a press conference. He's from England, black guy from England, badass. He's fighting Bilal Muhammad, who is another really tough guy. Seems to be reaching his prime. I don't know. I'm thinking Bilal might win because of activity. Leon hasn't fought in 2 years. Who do we like in this fight? Greg.
Well, Muhammad's the only one that I'm really familiar with, and I know he's been fighting great, so he'd be the guy that I'm going to go with.
Sean?
Yeah, I'd go Muhammad also, man. I just don't I don't think guys with an English accent can fight. I don't know. Like, maybe it's just me, but it seems like having a British accent takes you down. two levels of toughness at least.
What about Lennox Lewis?
After the American Revolutionary War, they weren't worth a shit. Yeah. Except for the war being kicked
itself. What about Lennox Lewis?
What about Lennox Lewis?
I guess that's the one. There's...
He owe you money?
No, but he was a fucking great fighter. He was a world champion boxer.
He was a boxer. He was a boxer, not a fighter. There's a difference.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ooh.
The accent doesn't affect boxing nearly as much as it does MMA.
Got it.
They wear a lot more fringe and tassels in boxing.
What about Bisping? Bisping was a champion. Yeah. What about Michael Bisping? There you go.
Huh? I thought we were talking about guys who could fight.
Oh, come on. Fucking Bisping.
Bisping was a tough motherfucker. That guy was right out of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. I mean, he's fucking...
Bisping's so tough that GSP came out of retirement from a weight class below and mopped the floor with him. That's how tough.
All right, that was not a great night for Bisping, but he also knocked.
I said he was tough. I didn't say he was an incredible fight. He
knocked out Luke Rockhold. he won the belt. All right, so also on this card, Misha Sirkunov taking on Ryan Spann.
Spann
lost, coming off a loss to Johnny Walker. Good dude. Yeah. We'll get him on the show. Felipe Lins, who won $1 million in the PFL, he lost to Tabara, now he's fighting Ben Rothwell. Rothwell lost to Tabara. Rothwell has, you know, wins over OSP, wins over Stefan Struve. Have you ever trained with Ben Rothwell, McCorkle? Sean, I think Sean left.
They lost him, yeah. I love that Don finds it hilarious that it finally happened to somebody else.
And then Angela Hill taking on Ashley Yoder. That should be a good fight. Yoder's a hottie. I love Angela Hill. That's going to be a good fight. I like that. Eric Anders.
Wait a minute. Who's the PFL guy? Is the PFL guy now fighting in the UFC? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Felipe Lins. He won $1 million, but he lost his two fights in the UFC, his first two fights. Have you trained with Ben Rothwell, Sean? Ever?
No, I know him, friends with him to a degree. I know Mitch Rayon trained with him pretty extensively, and said he was pretty good, but, no, I think, I want Rothwell to win, but I think he'll probably lose that fight, man. It's, Rothwell's got to be 42 or 43 now, if not older. So it's, with the days of steroids being gone, it's tough, man, when you're that age.
He got popped for steroids one time, or he got tested positive. And that was a guy that I was like, he definitely didn't pass.
Twice.
Definitely pass the smell test. You look at him, you're like, like that guy's on steroids. You know, he doesn't look like he's on anything.
I feel like if I won $1 million in fighting, I think that'd be it. I think I'd
think so.
I think I'd be cool with it. I'd be like, okay, good. I'll stop right here.
Well, Lance Palmer.
I'm retired.
Lance Palmer won it twice, 2 years in a row, and then was mad at the PFL for not going having a season last year. Wanted to leave. I was like, man, that's a guy who loves fighting. Fuck it. Who's not doing it for the money, or that, or he just spent $1 million.
I was gonna say, but that means he made $2 million.
Yeah.
Right. So he's mad. He's mad because he was like, I needed to make another $1 million.
Right.
He clearly thinks he owns that shit and he wants another round. Well, and that's what I would do too. I wouldn't go to the UFC and fight for $10,000. I would come back and fight for another $1 million.
Some people are just bad with money. I mean, I remember when MC Hammer lost all that money.
Yeah.
I remember watching a video on Arsenio Hall. When I must have been like 10 years old, and Arsenio was like, "Yo, Hammer, I heard you're spending a lot of money." And he's like, "No, I'm good." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, what was your last purchase?" He's like, "He had a thing in his car that turned on the light to his fish tank in his house. Like he had like a remote in his car, and this is back in the 80s. Like you didn't fucking have that, you know? Like
you did if you're stupid, yeah."
Yeah, I mean, you're just like, what?
And you're bad with money. That proved how bad you were with money, you know?
Dude, I remember watching a video of, like, they went backstage at a Hammer concert. Some guy was standing there. It was like, he had, like, 100 security. Wait, and the other guy's like, what do you do? He's like, oh, Hammer bailed me out. He was a friend from back in the day. He paid for my, you know, parole. And now I just get paid to stand here. And you wonder why he went broke. You're just
apparently he employed like his whole original neighborhood. He just like put them all on the payroll and was like, okay, yeah, you come here and that, because I, you know, that's the thing. He thought the money train was never going to stop running.
What's the dumbest thing you ever bought with your money back in the day, Don Fry?
A wife.
I told you that's why he went to Russia.
Sean, what about you?
Probably a $10,000 dog recently. No, dumbest thing I ever bought, man. Golly, I'm pretty good with my money, man. I'm a quarter Jewish, so 25% of the time I'm on top of it. So, yeah, I would say, I don't know, $10,000 for a dog is a lot of money, especially with no guarantee I can sell the pups for very much. So,
Greg, I mean, you booked some major commercials. You had that one commercial recently with Flo from insurance. Did you ever make a really dumb purchase?
Yeah. Cocaine about 3,000 times.
Yeah, you're going to resell that 3,000.
It was a mistake. I seem to really love making.
Okay.
Yeah, you're supposed to resell it at a profit, you know.
Listen, I'm not working on that side of the business. I'm the guy they're delivering it to.
I mean, how
the guy,
Greg, when you did that commercial,
yes.
Greg, when you did that commercial with Flo, did you meet Jeff Charney, the guy that's in charge of their advertisement over there?
Maybe there were so many people around, so it's tough to say.
Yeah.
I met that guy on a vacation one year. Nicest guy ever, man. He was a really good guy, and I guess he ran their whole advertising division.
Don, when you did the Priceline commercial with Shatner, what was he like?
I don't know. He didn't speak to anybody on set, so...
Wow. Not even you. Not even Don Fry.
Not me. When the director told him that I was a famous guy, he gave me an evil look like, how dare you be on my commercial set when you actually are better well known than me.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. What about Rob? Wow. Now, when you were in Big Stan with Rob Schneider, one of the all-time great movies, hilarious. Have you ever seen that movie? You ever see Big Stan? Greg, So Rob Schneider's going to prison. Like, he's got a hot wife, whoever. So he's going to prison. So he's like scared shitless. So he learns how to like kill everybody in prison, beat him up by like taking his fingers, sticking up their ass. Like he learns karate, and then he runs the jail. like the greatest.
It sounds like it would definitely make you popular.
I heard Mark Kerr was in charge.
Yeah, Mark Kerr. What was it like working with Rob Schneider, Don?
Rob Schneider's a cops, man. I'll tell you what, you can't meet a better guy. He's friendly. He's caring. He fed, you know, all the extras on that set. They were actually ex-cons, you know. And Rob fed everybody. He catered it with the top caterer, movie caterer. And he fed the extras the same as the actors, you know.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, you could never meet a better guy than Rob Schneider, I'm telling you.
I heard
it's amazing. You hear this a lot. There's so many guys. There's so many people that are great at being famous versus those that are really shitty at being famous. And it's always nice to hear about the ones that are really good at it.
Rob had a funny story. Yeah.
My bet's against you. If you ever become famous, my bet's against you.
You think I'm going to be really, I'm going to be Shatner about it. I'm going to be going around taking a Shatner all over everything.
I heard a funny Rob Schneider story back in the day. He told a story of how like he was in the marching band or something back in high school. And they like lost funding. So they were like, Rob, you know, will you give us money for the band? So he like funded the band for like 10, 15 years. Like he was the guy making, but then he like wasn't making as much money back, you know, at a certain point in his career. So he couldn't fund the band. So then everyone was mad at him. They were like, Rob Schneider's taking away our band. So then like everybody was like mad at him. Like he was like the biggest asshole. Like, band, if not for Rob.
No good deed goes unpunished, my man.
They love you. They love you when, you know, you're spending your money. It's socialism. Socialism is great, you know, until you run out of other people's money.
Well, that's our podcast.
That makes a lot of sense. Those really connect. That's definitely socialism.
That's our podcast today. Greg, what do you have coming up?
Oh, I have a bunch of shows coming up. El Paso, March, at the end of this month, 26th through 29th. And then I will be in Phoenix the first weekend of April, which I think is second and third. And then I will be the 5th through the 11th at the LA Comedy Club in Las Vegas at the Strat Casino, which I'm pretty sure is short for Stratchatory.
Ha! What about you? what about you, Sean?
I actually have a couple guys building a pond at my house right now because my one pond wasn't enough, so I'm building like an acre and a half pond in my front yard. And I've got – I want to hear what Don said, but it was probably awesome. I also had a guy come out to give me a estimate on some asphalt, like redoing my driveway. And I was talking to the guy. We got talking politics, and then he slid in one of those. You ever, like, talk to a guy, and they slide in something super racist? So he's like – I was like, man, I really hate what's happening to this country, man, this – woke stuff, this political correctness. He's like, yeah, Jews running everything. And I was like, whoa, dude, I wasn't going down that path. Where Fuhrer, you know, whatever. But he kept saying super racist stuff. And then I just went with it because I figured, why not tell that guy how I really feel? No. But no, I just went ahead and went with it and tried to see if I could offend him, and it did work out. He agreed with everything I said. So
yeah, normally
I was really going overboard with it. He's like, right?
Asking, so, like, is there anything people could support and watch you do this week? Coming up, but like, hey,
since the answer is no, I gotta have something to say.
So you're talking about your racist pond guy. Got it. Okay, so Don Fry, what do you have coming
right
up?
April 5th to something. I go up to Phoenix and I heckle some fat Mexican wannabe comedian. And then I think next week I go up there to Tempe or Mesa, and I heckle some fucking white boy who will be bombing up on stage. Besides that, nothing much.
All right, thanks, Don.
I can't wait to come see you heckle that fat Mexican.
I was performing in Phoenix.
This is Friday night. I'm in Gilbert, Arizona, this Friday. Saturday, no, March 25th, 28th, I'm at the House of Comedy being heckled by Don Fry in Arizona. And then April 2nd and 3rd, I'm in Chattanooga at the Comedy Catch. Thank you guys so much. You guys are great. Have a great week. Take care.
Take care.